You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This is the Atlanta Legacy Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye.
And we are coming to you right here on Sportsman's Nation. And we are on the Hunting Podcast. Hopefully some of you guys have came over from the Habitat. And we are on the Hunting Podcast, where we talk specifically hunting strategies, gear reviews, and all things hunting and not so much habitat. So, we want to cover one of the things that we really like. And we're going to do a gear review today, and it's not your typical gear review. We will cover some of the key features, but we're going to talk to you specifically on how we successfully use this product to where we can punch more tags. And specifically the Redneck soft-sided blinds, both the Gilly and the traditional
Camo Deluxe
blind. So these are awesome blinds. I absolutely love these blinds. And I think there's a lot of ways that we can use them that we use them. And I don't see a lot of people using them this way or kind of tweaking them. And I think blinds, you know, Matt, a lot of times you see them where it's just like plop it on the side of the field and be done with it.
Yep.
And there's ways that you can really up your game with the blinds to use them really effectively to improve your hunting strategy or improve your hunting success.
I think of these blinds as like the more permanent, I don't even like to use the word permanent, but it's the more preferred, comfortable option for, like, I know this spot's gonna be good all season, but I'm not ready to say I want to put like a tower blind up.
Yes,
like this is like that perfect hybrid. There we go, a hybrid blind. There's incredible amount of space in there to hunt. We hunt out of there, out of one of these, a bunch, and it's just the two of us with chairs. And we've got room to move if an animal comes across. Like, they're so comfortable. There's always a shot opportunity. You can always see. But beyond that, how do we use these typically in a setup? There's many ways.
But before we break that down specifically, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's the Redneck Outdoors Soft Side 360 Camo Deluxe blind. It's 6 foot by 6 foot. And Matt, you and I have hunted three people. Chad's joined us on a lot of hunts.
Yeah.
And it's super easy. And that's why you say it's that hybrid. It's perfect between the fiberglass stand or fiberglass tower blind, where when you put that up, you hope come hell or high water, you don't have to move it or anything.
Oh, yeah.
It just is. It's there. It's in the time tested places. But the soft sides are great for, you know, it looks like that field that we haven't hunted much has a good pattern of deer. I keep seeing deer there. So let's take one of the soft sides in there and flop it down or put it on. And they come with the tower, or you can put them on a trailer and move them around. But we like these because you can just, deer are so quick to adjust to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think for multiple reasons. Of course, yes, they're camo, but the one I'm looking at is the Gilly edition, but either way, both of them have the ability to brush in vegetation around them. And that could be, in our case, sometimes it's a cedar, or sometimes it's
corn.
It's been
Johnson grass.
Yeah, a lot of Johnson grass.
Switch grass.
Yep. But you weave it into the blind. It comes a part of it. So, yeah, you might look at a picture of it just by itself there. If you're looking at the web page, looking it up, it's like, oh, okay, you know, I see a cube. Okay, it's a cube. But when you have the ability to put that brush, weave it in, man, that thing just is gone. I've waterfowl hunted a lot of layout blinds, and the key to that is make yourself look like just the ground, lay out blind, whether it's corn stubble, just native vegetation, hay field. You want to blend in as much as you can. And you're doing that by weaving that vegetation into that layout blind, and that's basically the option that you have here with the ghillie blind. But it's a vertical option.
And it comes with a steel frame. It's tubular steel, so you can bolt it together. Website says 35 to 45 minutes. It really doesn't take long. Now, it takes a little bit longer than your traditional pop-up blind, but you get a lot more room, a lot more stability. You can leave it out there for months or, shoot, a lot of times we'll leave the frame out there all year but take the cover off. The cover, what's one of the greatest things is you can unzip it and take it off and then just put it right back on and zip it down and Velcro it down to where it doesn't flap in the wind.
It's solid.
It is very solid. And it's a great wind block. It's got multiple layers in the cover to where even in the elements, I mean, it's water resistant. I think they say water resistant, but it might as well be waterproof because it's such a thick cover to where you can hunt through the elements and out of this blind. So I love it. It's a great option. Right now they're running sale on them online. There's $399 for the Camo Deluxe. It's a great little blind. Now let's talk about how we use them.
Well, my first thought goes back to the scenario that played out last year as season was opening up there on your family farm.
Yeah.
Found a buck that was consistent, and that doesn't happen that much.
Consistent here in the Ozarks.
Yeah, right.
As in, he was there twice in 5 days.
and we're not kidding. But it was still, okay, I guess I don't want to get into that whole theory of okay, just because he doesn't show up on camera doesn't mean he's not there deal. But he was pretty consistent at this location, at this food plot. But in years past, you guys hadn't hunted it. There was not a stand on this food plot.
It's not really a great tree.
No,
and that's
not
where these blinds, and let's just be straight honest with people here, is the fact that we grew up where I grew up where we didn't have blinds to hunt unless we built it ourselves. And that was usually the week before deer season. We're like, we need to build a blind out there.
Yeah,
and so
brush blind.
Blinds weren't something that we really got to enjoy a whole lot. And so I grew up with that mindset of, I don't need a blind. And so I hadn't hunted out of them a lot until years ago. I went to a ranch and they had some blinds. And it was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And even then, I think I haven't adjusted to using a blind a lot for where I'm consistently trying to put a blind in. Now, that strategy is the fact of there's a good tree, I'm going to hang in a stand. There's not a good tree, I'm going to put a blind, and I'm not even going to hesitate about knowing that I'm going to have success out of it. It's kind of okay, I'm gun hunting, I want a blind, I don't have a good stand or a good tree to put a stand in, I'm going to hunt a blind. I'm not even going to think twice about it. That's where we use them a lot. And it's specifically in areas, that's what I love about these blinds is, oh, I want to hunt in there and I want to hunt in there tomorrow. I'm going to move a blind in, one of these ghillie steel blinds or one of these Camo Deluxe, and I'm going to brush it in really good and I'm not even going to worry about it.
I'm going to get in there and be fine.
Exactly. And so that's where we've just grown to love these blinds and the strategy that goes with this is just having the ability to move a blind in quick and let the deer not even have to, there's not an adjustment period. It's just, it's there and you're ready to hunt.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the other thing about moving that we haven't really talked about is I've moved them by myself. Like they look big, 6x6,
they
it's
are
a big,
big
blind, but we've been able to back up a truck right to them, drop the tailgate, pick up the one side, push them on, and roll to the next spot. Like it's not a big cumbersome project. I don't need a trailer. Roll them up on the bed and move on. And then two of us carry them across fields. They're not like cumbersome. So if you need to make a quick move, make a quick adjustment, they're perfect for that. Now you're not going to fold it up into a little carry sack and throw it over your shoulder. That's why we start out with it's a hybrid, but you still have the ability, like you said, to, hey, I've got a pattern. I don't have a blind up, or I don't have a stand in the right place to hunt that. Move one of these things in a couple days prior, boom, you're good to go.
And I think one of the biggest misconceptions with blinds is you can't bow hunt out of them.
Yeah.
And I've been that way. I mean, how many box blinds have you built or seen built where they had vertical windows? Probably not many. I know all the ones I built did not have them. But with this ghillie blind or the soft side blind is it has vertical windows, just like the fiberglass blinds, to where it's great for bow hunting and gun hunting. And I mean, there's been seasons where, or portions of the season where, specifically late season, where we've moved blind in and temperature's really bad, to where we spend more time in a blind than we do a stand.
Oh, easy.
And there's a lot of times where I would rather be in a blind than a stand. And these little ghillie blinds are great wind breaks, and they're great things to just move in and brush in real quick and take advantage of a hunting pattern. So
that's the other thing. You mentioned the vertical windows. You can move the zippers up and down and make as big of an opening as you need or small as you need. So they're versatile for that fact, especially if you get it up and elevated. You're not going to be shooting out the middle height of that. You'll be shooting out basically the bottom because it's elevated, but you have the versatility within those windows to be able to hunt out of it effectively. And we've spent a lot of time in the blind. I don't think there's really been a situation where I can say I didn't get the shot off because of the blind. And that's my biggest fear is I guess in comparison to a stand, where it's like, okay, I can see everything. There's not like blind spots or this is in the way. Like, you make a slight adjustment, move left or right, you're going to be able to find a spot to shoot out of.
Oh, yeah.
So the design of the windows is awesome. Is awesome.
You know, and that's one of the biggest problems with some of those pop-up blinds is there are major blind spots,
mm-hmm.
to where you have to really be on your game and really set the blind up appropriately to where you don't miss that opportunity. But I don't ever feel that way with the vertical and the horizontal windows, to where if I've got them opened up, now there may be a time where it's a blind spot and it's probably a shame on me because I didn't open up a window or a deer came in a way, sure. I didn't expect it. But if I have the windows open correctly, there's not a time where I'm like, I couldn't get a shot because it was behind a blind spot.
Shame on you, not the blind.
Exactly,
right?
Yes. And so that's just those vertical and horizontal windows are perfect for bow hunting out of. Now, they have the curtain system, which is even more cool, to where, and this is what we'll try to do a lot, is keep the windows closed behind you, keep the windows on the side with the curtains up, and then in the front have them open to where you can mm-hmm. shoot out of them fine, but on the sides you can still see out of them, even though you don't anticipate. And since we film, it's not like I got to have all these open so I can shoot. It's more of we got to have them open so we can get the camera and get everything set up to where when he does step in front of the window, we're ready to go.
And to take it a step further from filming, let's say, I guess the fear is early season, oh my gosh, that blind is so hot. But if you have the side windows open and you have a cross breeze, you could still have that screen up. And they can't see in. Like, you can still see out, but they're not being able to see all the way through. So that's a huge benefit too. Keep that blind cool, but still not be seen, but still see out.
And one of the things with all blinds and all concealment is I don't like, I try to avoid hard edges, and that is more specific to the put it up and hunt it type situation, where if you're going to put it up and hunt it same day, you try to eliminate hard edges and hard changes in the landscape. And so that's why having the ability with all these straps around the soft side blind to add brush, to break up those hard edges, that's why the ghillie blind's so cool, because it's naturally a soft edge. That feels weird talking about a soft edge and we're not talking habitat. But that's a great thing. With the windows open, you still don't have these bold black lines and contrast. You still have the soft edge with the ghillie blind or with brushing it in on the soft side. So one of the many benefits about the redneck and going with the hunting strategy is when you add something to the landscape, whether it be, and I even think about this with big monster ladder stands or tripod stands, is if you put them right in a situation where the deer is going to come in less than 50 yards, they're going to see it. And there's a good chance it's going to be the first nosy doe that comes onto the field. And she's the one that's going to blow and snort and stomp and just have deer all alert because she saw something different in the landscape. That's why when you add something to it and you're trying to hunt it pretty quickly, you need to make sure you soften it up and put it into the landscape the best you can. And that's probably my biggest advice on adding blinds during hunting season to your landscape is making sure it's not a drastic change.
Yeah.
And specifically not in a... We say this a lot with on the Habitat podcast about trying to be in the zone or trying to be in their business but not totally in their business. So if you're putting when you're putting blinds up, we never want to put them to where it's like they're going to be walking right next to the blind. It's kind of that situation where you want to be in their business but not in their business.
Or the other thing too is that that line of sight. So if you got like a little bit of terrain, you are basically as that deer comes across the field or gets to a field, you're directly looking at it. You're like eye to eye with that deer. I can't stand that. Like, you know what I mean? But like this blind, the way it breaks up, it's not like, oh my gosh, there's a blind. Like the deer's looking square at you. It's like, well, no, I'm good. I'm fine. So, that's the added benefit, of that softer edge around these blinds. And the other cool thing that they do and makes it extremely mobile is the trailer option for a blind. So you can have a 5-foot stand and then put that stand on a trailer and tool it around your property. Make the moves as you need to move. I've seen people, as grain is getting harvested, they're making a progression from field to field to field over a couple days. You can take that blind and move it to those necessary fields in conjunction with the harvest. This is something, honestly, I don't think that we've talked about, but what you could do, if you know in a spot that's going to be great late season, again, this is, you don't have a permanent blind set up, or you don't have the option for a tree stand location, you can go ahead and plant a screen to a location along the field edge or whatever, get a screen established, set, back this trailer in, boom, set it up, you've got an elevated platform, your blinds tucked into the canopy with a screen to get you in and out. You could have multiple of those throughout a property already in place and then just drive and keep one blind on a trailer and move it around as needed. Move it in and out quick and easy.
I think that, does it say, I don't know what it says, but I think it brings it up 5 foot or close to 5 foot.
Yes.
I don't think, because the options are you can put it on the trailer and get it up 5 to 7 foot, whatever it is. You can put it on a actual 5-foot stand, or you can put it on a sled.
Oh, that's true.
That's another thing about these is you can put it on the sled. A little more affordable. And then you can just basically, as you would think, pull it around on the sled. Now, if there's no snow on the ground, it may sound terrible. I just think of the Ozarks and all the rocks that are going to just...
Yeah.
Oh, it's just going to grind on those. But the sled is a great option of moving that blind around. The only benefit would be, or disadvantage to when you compare it to the trailer or the stand, is you're not as high. So that goes into, that's one of the biggest things when you hunt from the ground. If there's a roll in the hill, or I think of one of the places we put the blind up last year was on a little knoll, and if they were within 30 yards, it was great. But if they were 40, 45, we were going to be like, I don't know if we're going to be able to see them all the way. We certainly won't be able to see their legs. And so sometimes the sled may be great, and other times you may want to go more to the trailer or the 5-foot permanent stand. And that goes with, if what we like about these is having the ability to pop them up during hunting season. Or move them in during hunting season. They're not as, they don't disturb the animals as much. But it's always important to have a little bit of a caution with them and brushing them in, putting them in areas that they're concealed. And same thing would go with this trailer. If you move it in there, try to, if you're going to move it into the middle of the field. Now, we don't almost ever suggest putting up blinds in the middle of a field just because you have to get there and
you've got to walk out sometime.
You got to get out of there sometime, and hopefully it's not with deer all around you. And so we put a lot of our blinds, and that's one of the other main points in this whole podcast is always brushing them in or putting them in an area to where they're not right out in the open, especially if you're trying to hunt them the same day, same week. But also the other thing is don't put them up in the middle of the field. And that goes with all hunting strategy. It doesn't matter what blind it is. Don't try not to put them up in the middle of the field, because at some point you got to climb out of that stand. You got to walk out, and you do not want to alert the deer, because the first night, and another thing is you don't want to have your wife come and honk the horn and put the headlights on it. That may work once, and that may work twice, but that may work three times. But as you do that, you just keep maybe pushing deer further and further back to where they don't get to that field before dark. And that's one of the biggest things.
You might as well have that spotlight on you as you walk out from that blind, like, oh, there he is, everyone, look. But here's another thing that I love about the blind and its size, the versatility of it. Obviously, as you're looking into this blind from the outside in, it's dark. It's black. There's a black interior around. So, again, we can wear a black sweatshirt, black hoodie, black
paint
gloves.
Paint your face black.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't quite understand sometimes, the necessity to wear, like, full camo in these things. It kind of makes me laugh because, like, if you wear black, you blend in really well. So anyhow, but that's the thing. This blind is deep. Like, it's 6 foot by 6 foot. And a lot of times I felt cramped in like a pop-up blind. And no matter, even if I am wearing black, there's so much light that comes through in those windows. I'm still lit on my face. So I know the sun's like still getting me. It's still kind of illuminating me. But with the depth of these blinds, you can get far away from those windows and back yourself. It's almost like a black hole back in there. So there's no light on your face. There's no movement. If you do need to make an adjustment as you're walking across your field of view, like, you can do that and not feel like you're out there in the open. You're blending. You're far enough back. And that's another benefit to that larger size, comparatively speaking, to some of these smaller pop-ups that you're always like, feel like you're glowing in there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. And that's where it doesn't matter what blind you're using. Some of the other parts that you want to consider is don't... I love the pictures or like the photo shoots where it's a person's like face right up next to the window.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't... Who sets like that? I hope you don't set with your face right up against the glass or right up in the window hole and move it around and be looking. Set back in the blinds. And if you're like, I think an afternoon sun coming in, try to either set up in your chair or squat down in your chair to where the sun is not shining right on your face, or wear a face mask, but try not to make a drastic contrast between your face, your hands, your camo, or whatever it is you're wearing. Try to keep it consistently dark in the background, and you can get away with all kinds of movement in there as long as you're not making drastic changes with the lighting. And
you could roll out a hardwood dance floor in there,
yeah,
and get away with it.
Put a disco ball up and everything.
Right.
As long as you're not, your face and the dark contrast of the blind are two things that are, you got to do something. Either hide your face, put a face mask on, or don't move a lot. But if you hide your face and you sit in the shadows, you can move around and take picture and do whatever you want. Dance to the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Make sure you keep your hands. That's another thing, especially if you're bow hunting, is keep your hands covered up, wear some gloves, or don't try not to move them around a lot. Because
you think
if
of the moment,
you move
the
your
truth.
Hand closer to that window and it's not covered, you go from pitch black window, all of a sudden there's something white right out there in front of them, and that will definitely catch their attention.
Yeah, that's the moment of truth right there. You've got to move to get a range. You got to move to grab your bow and clip on a release and draw. That's a lot of movement that your hands are basically out there wide open. So make sure you do take that extra precaution. Golly, there it is. Wear black gloves. Wear black paint on your hands.
Yes. And there's a couple options that come with that. So trying to eliminate movement if you don't have face paint or hand or gloves on is they have a bow hanger, they have a gun rest, all these things where you don't have to move as much to get ready for the shot. There's also a camera mount option. There's also another option where if you want to run an Ozonics around your blind. There's a gear console to hold all your gear, your binos, your wind checker, your can of Coke, whatever it is you have with you. The gear console will allow you to have plenty of accessories ready to grab at moment's notice. There's also, as one of the biggest things, Matt, you and I were both sticklers with this, is noise and unnecessary noise. Maybe that's an entire podcast that we devote to the unnecessary, annoying noises that hunters face, whether that be a chain of a gate or whatever it is. But
I'm so used to that. As many the way
cattle farms.
Yeah, cattle farms. Growing up hunting cattle farms, man. My dad would lock one up like Fort Knox, man.
And my farm is like the world's worst. It's aluminum gates with chains that just wrap all the way around them, and it's like no matter what you do, there's sound. But one is specifically is the floor of a blind. Especially a hard blind. And so if you don't have the floor cushioned, you're going to make noise. And man, that's something that irritates me so much is the sound of a dropping of a camera battery on the floor of a blind that's not protected, where it's like, it's a drum.
It just echoes in your ears. You're like, stop ringing.
And so they have a puzzle cut foam floor that you can put in these blinds to where it's like a, I don't know, almost a half inch thick, to where it's insulation from the elements, but it's also really, really good at eliminating noise and staying quiet. So yeah.
If you get that blind up on the, whether it's the tower blind, the 5 foot or 10 foot stand, that's a,
you gotta have it.
Essential. Yes.
So,
and one of the things that we have not mentioned, and I'm ashamed we haven't yet, and it's the biggest plus about these blinds, taking kids or new hunters. Like, it's so perfect. There's room to move. You can keep them active, whether it's reading a book or something else, to pass the time. But there's so much room in there. You can literally get away with murder as you're trying to coach a new hunter along. They're comfortable, again, out of the elements.
Did you say literally get away with murder? I hope you didn't say that.
I did.
You can get away with murder, as they say, in the blind. Literally get away with murder, Matt says, as he's talking about taking kids and women involved. Come on,
the deer, man.
Yeah,
the deer.
Yeah, you can get away with so much movement by taking new hunters into these blinds and getting them very close to the animals without having to really, I mean, I think about it when I was a kid learning how to hunt and going with dad. It was like, no deer came close or turkeys came close because I was moving. And when they got closer, I moved even more. So inside these blinds is a great option. And and overall, these blinds are just a great benefit. Now, the dream is to own the fiberglass, but it's, you can move these.
Stepping stones.
Yes. It's like, for me, it's like, I don't know if I want to put a permanent there yet. Let's stick this one there for this season, hunt it a few times, and if we feel like it's a great spot, then we'll move in a fiberglass and have a permanent stand there.
Especially for an area that you think the wind might swirl a little bit, like, this is perfect before making that big investment into that fiberglass. Test it with a more enclosed blind, see how the wind reacts, and if you need to make any adjustments, or if you're like, yep, this worked perfect to a T, then you can move on up.
Well, that's another huge benefit to the fiberglass is it is more scent-proof than the ghillie blind. So if you put a ghillie blind up and you're like, you know, the wind was pretty consistent, even though I figured it was going to swirl more, I can get away with this. Or you say, you know, there's a few times where I feel like if I get a fiberglass in there, and that's one of the biggest key points of a fiberglass, it's not just to keep us out of the elements, but it's the fact that we can make them scent-proof and put them in some areas where we can really stretch the rope out and really kind of play the game and do some...
You can get aggressive.
Really aggressive moves. And we can shut the windows up and only open them up in time for the shot. So a big benefit of the fiberglass blind. But that's a whole other podcast. This week is the soft-sided redneck blinds and the ghillie option and the camo deluxe and... that you can really put them in some great places, learn the farm, and then think about how you want to attack it in the future with more permanent blinds. Or you want to use some of these blinds and you're on more of a budget for the property, these are a great option as well, because they're running a deal on them right now. And you can pick them up and have a great little option for taking kids or be more aggressive. As we said earlier, one of the biggest advantages, we can now hunt areas where trees aren't an option for a tree stand. So that's what we like about them. Anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed this week's podcast. We did not do the Would You Rather.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Would you rather buy a Camo Deluxe or a Ghillie? We didn't even talk about this.
What?
They actually have, and this was released at the ATA, but it's a burlap case.
Oh my gosh, how did we forget?
It's even more, and I think they're shrinking it down 6 inches, I think, so it's a little bit more for the cut cornfield type scenario. It's got all kinds, and you think burlap doesn't blend. You may think this. Burlap doesn't blend in with anything, but it has so many options to where it's a little bit cheaper, but mm-hmm. you can also have all these options with the gear with the ties and the brush-in straps to where you can brush it in where you probably don't even know it's burlap. It's just whatever the natural surroundings has, and it's got that good brown base to where it'll blend in almost anywhere.
And it still has that backing on, that black backing, so it's not just a burlap. It's burlap on top of this, so you still have that ability to get away from the elements and everything, but blend in. Native grass, broom sedge, cut corn, you're gone.
I think of the awesome option, you know, we've got that, the cornhole set that we've got mm-hmm. to where we're going to have half of the field in heritage blend.
Yep.
And corn, and then half the field in the Stratton wild game changer beans, to where we're going to be able to put one of these blinds right at the break of the two and hunt that entire bean field, but then slip out through the tall heritage blend and never be detected. And
oh, yeah.
So we're going to be able to brush in that blind. So awesome.
It's just going to disappear.
Yeah.
We might walk past it.
It might be our favorite set.
Yeah.
So
it will be really good though.
It will be. And we're very excited about it. And the great thing is that's kind of that benefit of should I get a tower? Should I not get a tower? In that scenario, I'd rather not have a tower because I want to be down in the cover. Now, there's times where, as I said, with the terrain change, you may need to be a little taller. But in that option, we're going to be right on the ground.
Right in the wheelhouse.
Anyway, if you guys want any more information, go to redneckblinds.com to check those out. And hopefully, we helped you with your kind of a strategy, or maybe we talked about one of the scenarios you're in, and we gave you an option to check out for this next deer season. So you said, which one would you rather have?
Oh, I'm going to go with the Ghillie.
Okay.
I like the versatility. I like the really soft edge around it. Tying vegetation to that Ghillie fabric, super easy. I like it.
I'm going to go with that new burlap one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I know I can brush it in almost anywhere. And in the blind, I don't stand up and shoot, so I don't need that additional height.
Yep.
So I can go with a little bit shorter of a blind and be perfect. So that's what I would go with. What's your would you rather?
Would you rather this season take your grandpa or a new hunter and a ghillie blind early season?
Early season. It'll be a new hunter. I know grandpa doesn't want to go in the heat.
Yep.
So, or the seed ticks.
Oh, gosh. Don't even bring those up.
Even if I said I wanted him to go, he would say,
wait till I'm October.
Out. Yeah. So it'd be a new hunter for sure. So
either situation, this is the perfect setup. Perfect scenario.
So anyway, we will catch you guys next time.
We'll see ya. Thanks for listening to another episode of Land and Legacy's Hunting and Habitat Management Podcast. If you like what you hear, check us out at landandlegacy.tv. You can submit a viewer question right there, and we're answering on the podcast, or find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Feels pretty good knowing that from the beginning of time, God has called us to be a caretaker, gamekeeper, a manager of the land. So with that being said, don't you think we should do it all for the love of the land and the glory to God?